Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to another Holy Half Hour, here on your local radio station 3TFM. I'm your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And tonight we have in the studio, live with us, a guest from just around the corner actually, from about 10 doors down the street. A man I've known for the past 6 years, indeed we worked together. I was about to say partners in crime, but that would be the wrong metaphor I think. Let's rather say we sing off the same song sheet. We make music together. We both lead worship together because Wallace Roy is the church organist in Saltcoats North Parish Church. Well, he's one of our two organists. So welcome, Wallace, and thanks for coming round to the studio. It hasn't been far for you to come.
It hasn't. Oh. Thank you, Alec, for inviting me. This is a first, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. How did you get started with this organ playing?
It probably came from the background at home. My grandfather, he was a church organist, and he was actually the organist in two churches in Stevenson. So yeah. My father always said it missed a generation and it came to me. Yeah.
Which church is out of interest?
As far as I know, my grandfather played in every church in Stevenson, but I think latterly he was in the United Free Church. And that would probably be the days of when it was the old harmonium. So he was a fit guy if he sat and pedalled that organ for, you know, an hour every Sunday.
Is that the one with the bellows?
That's the one with the bellows. And, you know, he just, you know, pedalling with his feet.
He didn't get you round the back sort of...
Well, it's my grandfather, so, I mean, I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah,
you
of
know,
course.
I do remember we did actually get his organ in the house for a couple of years, you know, after he died, and then it disappeared again.
So how old were you when you started playing?
Well, obviously, initially, it was piano lessons that I took, you know, and with having a church background, it was probably when I was about 14 or 15, I took an interest in the organ, and I approached, obviously, our own organist, and he very kindly said that I could more or less go in and play the organ at any time, showed me how to switch it on, and more or less said, get on with it. So that's how I basically started.
And did you get lessons on the organ?
After doing that for possibly maybe a couple of years, I did go and have organ lessons, and I went to Livingston Church in Stevenson to a chap who was a very capable organist called Bill Archibald. And Bill gave me lessons and sort of tweaked some of the things that I shouldn't be doing and showed me, you know, how to develop the playing and use the stops properly, pedal board, and more or less how the organ should be played.
Yeah. So where did you start playing after that? What's your sort of career in music?
Well, my career in organ, if I'm quite honest, I never intended to be a church organist. Although I took an interest in playing the organ, that's basically all I wanted to do, just be able to play the organ. But our church that I was in as a member, the organist left to go to another church, and I was approached to see if I would take it over. So I started as a church organist in Trinity Church in Saltcoats in 1963. It seems a long, long time ago, but it was 1963.
Yeah. And can you trace your career since then?
63, I did it there from 63 to 68. And then because of the nature of my work, I was possibly having to move away from the district. So I actually very... neatly resigned. When I say neatly, it was the time when Landsborough joined Trinity Church, the two congregations combined. So it wasn't a case of leaving without an organist. When I retired, the organist of Landsborough Trinity Church took over. From then until 1973, I did locum work in various local churches. And then 1973, Landsborough Trinity Church, again, had no organist. And again, I was approached and asked if I would take it over again. And I did, and I was there until 1990.
Right, we'll pause there, okay. And we'll pick up your career when we come back. But I've asked you to bring in your choices in music today. So what's your first track that you've chosen?
Well, my first track is surprising. It's a lady called Winifred Atwell. Possibly most of your listeners will never have heard of her, but I'm quite sure some will. She was quite a famous pianist in the 60s on the variety circuit. She was a very capable pianist, and she developed a style all of her own, which I think you'll find in this piece of music.
But she was a black woman.
She was a black woman. She came from Trinidad and Tobago. She went to the Royal College of Music in London, graduated from there, and then was discovered, I think it was by Bernard Delfont, and went on to the variety circuit. And latterly, she retired to Australia, and although she didn't appear on the variety stage again, she was her local church organist.
So what we're about to hear is what you'd be playing if you weren't playing the minister's choice in hymns, is it?
I would like to be able to play the style that she can play, but it's not easy.
Right, let's hear Winifred Atwell. So if you've just joined us, I'm interviewing Wallace Roy, the church organist. So Wallace, you were taking us through your career, and we got to 1990, and you're in the Landsborough Trinity Church in Saltcoats. So what happens after 1990?
Well, in 1990, the job I was actually doing, it meant that I was going to be covering a far bigger area of the country, which made it the whole of Scotland and down into Northern England. But also at that time, the church was amalgamating with another church in Saltcoats, Erskine Church. And to me, it was an ideal opportunity to retire without leaving the church without an organist. So I retired in 1994, and the organist of Erskine, he took over as organist of the new Trinity Church.
And you went off into Blue Yonder as a sales rep.
I went off into Blue Yonder as a sales rep. But obviously, as you well know, word gets around that somebody has now retired from playing the organ. And I did do locum work in various local churches.
Must have been difficult to be a sales rep. I mean, were you all over Britain?
No, I was. Latterly, I covered the whole of Scotland and Northern England, right down as far as Middlesbrough and over to Barrow and Furness.
And you combined that with playing the organ?
I combined that with playing the organ on a Sunday.
Yeah, you did well.
Yeah, I did well. It's, when you think of now, you wonder how you found the time.
Yeah.
And then we did have choir practices on a Thursday night.
How do you manage a Thursday night choir practice?
Well, I always made sure that I was worked away from home Monday to Thursday. I was always home on a Thursday night.
So I think that's the answer to people who think they can't do things, that they ask a busy man and he can fit it in, or it's about priorities. Well, so you found this quite a high priority in your life to fit in your organ playing.
I would be lying if I said I didn't enjoy playing the organ.
Is there more to it than just enjoying it? Do you see it as a vocation of some kind?
No, I couldn't see it. I mean, I never considered music as a vocation, as far as I was concerned. I enjoyed playing the piano, I enjoyed playing the organ, but I didn't take it as a vocation.
But there's a considerable amount of dedication in there.
Well, I suppose there was. I mean, it's very time-consuming. I now think of the young organists that are taking over churches that have one service on a Sunday, and that's it. But in the 60s, when I took over, you had two Sunday services. You had choir practice on a Thursday night. When it was communion, you had preparatory services, you know, on a Friday night. And certainly there was far more weddings at that time as well.
You're playing in church, as opposed to the end of Blackpool Pier, doing your honky-tonk Winifred Atwell style. The fact you're doing it in church, is it not something to do with your Christian faith that you're a church organist, you know?
I suppose it must have to a certain extent, because I was brought up in the church, you know, like Sunday school, boys' brigade, joining the church. My mother and father and all my family were very much involved with the church, so I suppose that you could consider that.
So what about your second piece of music then?
My second piece of music is a piece called Adagio for Strings by Barber.
Is this a special piece for
this you? Is a piece, to my mind, this is a piece of music if you had a very, very stressful day and you wanted to just to lie or sit in a darkened room and listen to some music that would just calm you. This is a piece of music.
After having driven from all over
Scotland. After having
driven
all over, yes. It's a very peaceful piece of music, a very beautiful piece of music.
So Wallace, you were travelling all over the country and combining that with your organ playing back home. But you also played the organs when you were all over the country, didn't you?
That's correct. Obviously, when you had a lunch hour or time to spare until your next appointment, if there was a church open, then I usually went in to have a look round. And I was fortunate sometimes if there was a person there looking after the building, they asked me, you know, where I was from and what did I do and did I have any interest. And when they saw me looking at the organ and found out that I was a church organist, if they could, they said that I could have a shot at playing the organ. So it gave me a wonderful opportunity. And one of them was particularly was in Dunblane Cathedral. Not the present organ they've got, they've got a new organ, but the old organ was a four keyboard organ, a massive instrument, and it was just so wonderful to play. And the reason I got playing it was that the hall keeper or the church officer, he said he would allow me to play it on one condition, that I played Amazing Grace, because the organist of Dunblane Cathedral would not play Amazing Grace for him. But he said if I played Amazing Grace, that I could play the organ of Dunblane Cathedral. So I got the opportunity to play Dunblane Cathedral. I also had the chance to play Brechin Cathedral, which was another marvellous organ, and St Cuthbert's Parish Church in Edinburgh, that's just right on Princes Street. And it was a very neat organ too.
What makes a very special organ in your view?
In the bigger organ, it's the range of stops and the range of sounds that you can actually produce. And I think obviously in some of these buildings where, you know, they've got very high ceilings, the sound is completely different. You get a far, far better sound, you know, from these organs.
And then moving from special organs and special venues, what about special occasions? Does any in your career come to mind as particular highlights or even lowlights?
I can't think of any other special occasions than playing it. It's probably something that nobody else has done. It when Trinity Church joined with Landsborough Church, I played at the service for joining the two churches. And then lo and behold, years later, when Erskine joined Landsborough and Trinity, I played at that. So I suppose you could call that, you know, two special occasions. And I suppose another special occasion would be playing the organ at my own sister's wedding, which was rather special. But the one that really comes to mind is many years ago, I played at a wedding in Fairlie Parish Church. And that day, the minister, the bride, the bridegroom, the best man, and the church organist were all in the same class at school.
All right.
So it was quite a special occasion. And it was a special occasion for me and one that I'll never forget, because the bride, in her wisdom, decided that she wanted to go to church in a horse-drawn carriage. But she lived in Seamill, and to go from Seamill to Fairlie is quite a distance in a horse-drawn carriage. And whether they mistimed how long it would take or the horse wasn't as fit as it should be, it wasn't the fact that I was playing at a wedding. It was a wedding recital because the bride arrived an hour late. And by that time, I think the poor bridegroom had worn a hole in the vestry carpet wondering where she was.
And the poor horse too.
And the poor horse as well. But she did eventually arrive.
There's all kinds of excuses why brides are late.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it was, you know, the fact that we'd all been at school in the same class.
If you had particular funny moments, other ones...
Yes, one of them was in your own church, in the North Parish Church, many years ago when Stuart Price was a minister. I got contacted to see if I could fill in a Saturday wedding. So I duly went up on the Thursday night to have a run over in the organ, and everything was going fine. However, when I arrived at the church on the Saturday, they told me that the pipe organ had broke down, and all they had left was a harmonium, which I had to play.
A harmonium isn't a mouth organ.
No, no. It's one that you have to sit at, and you sit at and you have to pedal to get the air into it. So as well as playing, you've got to pump the organ to get the air in. But also the music was sitting on the organ, and every time I really gave it big licks with the pedals, the music kept falling off. So between trying to hold on to the music and doing all the pedalling, by the time the wedding was over, I was absolutely exhausted.
I'm sure. Well, let's pause for your third choice in music. This is a well-known singer, Pavarotti, and he's singing Nessun Dorma.
principessa nella tua fredda stanza guardi le stelle che tremano d'amore e di speranza. Ma il mio mistero è chiuso in me, il nome mio nessun saprà. No, no, sulla tua
So Wallace, I'd like to ask you, how difficult is it to play the organ in church, in technical sense?
Well, the organ is completely different from a piano. Where you hit a piano key, the sound can still be heard. But with the nature of an organ, when you press the key and take your finger off the key, then the sound is lost completely. Most organs have two keyboards. You've got a swell keyboard and what they call a great keyboard. And both of them have 61 keys on each keyboard. And each key has a pipe of its own. And obviously these pipes are controlled by stops. So you've got to know what's the loud stops, what are the soft stops. When you're playing on a swell organ, you have a pedal that opens, probably what you could best describe as a Venetian blind. And when you open the Venetian blind, the organ can get louder or the organ can get softer. But added to the keyboard, you've also got the pedal board, which gives the sound, you know, more like a bass sound, but it gives a counter to your playing by hand.
Why do you have foot pedals? Is that just because you could really have had a third keyboard? But
there's organs with five keyboards.
Five?
Yeah. Some of the large cathedrals have five keyboards. But I say most churches, it's two keyboards with the pedal board. And the pedal board is just to give depth to what you're playing.
And then playing the organ, you're not just in church doing a recital, you're taking part in the context of public worship. So that adds another layer onto your thinking, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does thinking when the hymns are chosen. You look at the various verses and decide by the wording where the organ should be loud or where the organ should be soft or what speed you should play it at. And obviously your organ playing on a Sunday can obviously reflect in what type of service it is. If it's a remembrance service or if it's a happy occasion like Christmas or Easter, that decides on what piece of music you're going to play.
I should say at this point, since we work together, I appreciate that when I finish the sermon and we have the offering and then you play, that you do try and match up your next piece of music to what I've been saying. So you've only got the duration of the sermon to think up what you're going to play. So quite often it's an ad lib sort of.
Not during the offertory, voluntary. I usually pick that in advance, but sometimes if you give me the theme of the service, I try to match up, to that.
There's a kind of game goes on there. What's he going to play this week to follow that? And if I think of an awkward topic. Working with a choir or with soloists, that adds another complication layer, does it?
It does. There's a great danger for organists to drown the soloists or drown the choir. And I've heard that on so many occasions where, you've had a really good soloist singing and or a choir singing, and the organ is way, way over, what the choir are singing. Mm-hmm. And to me, it spoils the whole effect. So you've got to be careful what you play. Yeah.
So our next piece of music, to my amateur ear, sounds like the hardest piece that could be played on an organ. Would that be fair to say?
It is a difficult piece to play, but it does bring in the full force of the organ, brings in the pedal board, the keyboard, loud and soft, and it's a piece that everybody knows.
So, Wallace, our time's nearly at an end, and thank you for coming. But before you go, what other kind of music do you like beside the organ music?
I've got a very broad range of music. I enjoy Scottish country dance music. I enjoy fiddle music, orchestral music. I enjoy the music of ABBA. Take That, some of the modern groups. Possibly the thing I enjoy most is some of the piano music. Mm-hmm. You know, for you know that played by, you know, well, composed by Chopin.
Yeah, and when it comes to hymns and hymn writers, have you any particular favourites?
Hymn writers, I do have a favourite hymn writer. He's quite a modern one, Timothy Dudley Smith. I like what he's written, and I also like some of the Wesley hymns, Isaac Watt and John Newton. But one of the more modern hymn writers, he's Scottish, is John Bell. You probably know as a Church of Scotland minister. And then the new hymn book, CH4, he has brought in a lot of nice tunes, and which it does include some of the Scottish tunes, like some of the Burns tunes. So that makes the hymn book a bit more interesting.
And do you feel music's quite important in public worship?
Oh, I think it's very important in public worship. I think a service would be a very long, drawn-out affair if it was only the minister that was just standing up and speaking for an hour. So probably the more music we have, the better, as far as I'm concerned in church.
Yeah, no, it's true, and it's also true of radio programmes, that if it was just all talking. So it does lift things and lift the spirits in a way.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much, Wallace, for coming in tonight and sharing some insights into the world of the church organist. And we wish you well in your future playing.
Thank you.
So to finish with, on a climactic note, we have an organ playing a famous hymn.
With choir.
And what hymn have you chosen?
The hymn I've chosen is "The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, Is Ended."
So appropriate to finish with. So thanks again, Wallace.
My pleasure. Thank you.